fit for life. Your biblical pathway to success. Make this year your best year by studying to show yourself approved. Join us in our new Fit for Life classes to follow your biblical pathway to success. This is a class for everyone, whether you are a new believer or a mature believer. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the Fit for Life class.
The title for my talk today is Killing the Weeds. And when we looked at the topic for this month, I said, okay, I'll take this one. And they had very, you know, spiritual titles for everything that they were teaching. And mine was supposed to be, you know, how we take care of everyday issues in our life. And I said, no, it's killing the weeds, because we're spiritual enough. For crying out loud, if you're getting up this early to come to a class, you're spiritual, you're ready, you're loaded, you're cocked, you're doing everything that you know to do in the spirit realm. So we have to kind of put it in a practical sense to say, what's the next step? What should we be looking out for? Because most of us are dragging baggage that we don't know we're dragging with issues that we don't know we even have. So, good morning, Yvonne. So what we're going to look at today are maybe some things that you, if you choose, you can take a look at and say, okay, yeah, I don't want to have that in my life anymore. I do have my notes on my phone in case you're wondering why I have no paper in front of me, so let me get to my notes. Most of the issues that we have going on in our life now that aren't working have to do with relationships. It's people. We joke during the week that ministry would be so much fun if it weren't for people. But that's what God sent us here for. His master class of reformatting how we respond to life is marriage. Because if you're in a marriage relationship, you're going to be bumping on each other and shaking some stuff off. When I taught 5th and 6th grade ladies Sunday school class, a lot of the little girls were just getting into the romantic idea of someday they might be married. And a lot of them had the idea that they were going to marry somebody like their daddy, which was really sweet. Except their daddy wasn't their daddy like when the mama married him. Because the daddy turned into a daddy after years of relationship with the mom and the children and became the gentleman that everybody had fallen in love with in the family. So I tried to explain that to the young girls, and their eyes kind of glassed over, and it was like, okay, they're too young to talk about marriage quite yet, so we just talked about purity. But God's master plan for getting us chipped away to become the people, both men and women, that he wants us to be, is the relationship of marriage. Then the next one is children. I don't know how many of you had a plan for the children that you birthed into your life, and maybe you have not birthed them personally, but you have nieces and nephews that you're parenting. But my favorite example, and she tells this on herself, so I'm not speaking out of school, is Pastor Jen. She and Pastor Luke had a perfect plan for what their child was going to be, how they were going to respond, what they were going to do. Now, I do have to give her credit. When she was pregnant, she played classical music to her stomach. She ate a diet so clean that you could bounce a dime off of it. She was exacting in her whole pregnancy for what she consumed, her mind, her sleep, everything. But before even little Lion was diagnosed with anything, he had a personality. And Pastor Jen's, it's going to happen this way. All of a sudden, her eyes got bigger and she kind of stepped back and it was like, holy cow, what have we done? And she had to modify her plans for raising that little boy based on what she thought it was going to be. So, first one is marriage, second one is parenting. And then at this season of life, I can look around and say the next one that kind of shakes stuff off of us is aging parents. What do we do with aging parents? How do we treat them? How do we respond to the person that's always been the strength in the family when they can't remember even who you are? So those are the three main relationships, I think, that God puts in each one of our lives. And we can probably, through life groups and sermons and books and teachings and tapes and everything else, we can get some good tips on how to do marriage, how to do child raising, and how to take care for aging parents. So I'm going to talk about our mind, because I really feel like that's the place where most of us get trapped. See, in communications, when we deal with things, our mind is the first thing that processes what we're going to feel and think and respond. So you got four issues. For those of you that take notes, you can just write 1, 2, 3, 4. If you've already taken notes with the marriage, that can be A, B, and C. But number one is in interactions is mind reading. Now, what that means is that if somebody comes in and says, morning, we mind read on, well, what was that about? Last week they were happier to see me. We project things on them and mind read and assume that we know what they're thinking, what they're feeling, that we know the reason on why they responded the way that they did. Now, I've always confessed, I love Jewish teaching. Not just because it's biblical and because our Savior came from the Jewish nation, but because they are so darn practical. And so their whole concept of mind reading is, I'm not going to read the mind because I don't, or try to read their mind because I don't know what they have been through. I don't know what happened to them on the way. So if their behavior is different from what normally I expect and experience from them, then something must have happened. It's almost like they're able to put their God coverage on them, so it's not about them. That's secret number one. It's not about us. When something happens and if it's out of character, then we don't assume that they're mad at us or it's about us or they should have or they could have or why didn't they. It's about, bless them, Lord. They must have had a rough morning. So we can adopt their mindset as we look at our brothers and sisters by having that covering on and saying, bless their heart, it must have been a tough morning. Now, Pastor Tiz is a master at connecting. I mean, I follow her around sometimes and I go, I don't know how you do it, lady. I don't know how you do it. We've been with her long enough to have known people who have burnt them. I mean, like bad. And we will be at a gathering and she'll run into them and she is the sweetest thing and it's not fake. Because if it were fake, she'd be going, oh boy, here comes that one. Hi, honey, honey. Can you believe it? That's fake. But Noah's like, oh, here's Sarah. It's like, yeah, I know. And she's running over there, hugging on him, telling him how glad she is to see him. She's like, oh, that was good to see him. Now, she's not fake that way out in the church and then different in her office. That's who the woman is. So that's always an example to me to go, okay, get your act together, girlfriend, and at least model part of what the lady of the house does. I can't speak for Pastor Larry. I'm not a man. I don't know how his brain works. I don't know anything about that. But I know women, and I know Pastor Tiz. So I can watch her and say, okay, that's a good example to have. So just be careful. When you run into people, don't mind read and assume you know what. Now, the second one here is projecting. Oh, boy. Okay, if you've got any hurts in your life, any wounds from a parent, from a sibling, ex-husband, ex-wife, children, whatever, if there's a wound there, then you're going to project that wound onto someone else. It kind of happens this way. I've heard a lot of people give a lot of explanations about Joni Lamb and when she announced that she was going to get married to Doug. And it's like, wow, that was soon. And it's like, no, it wasn't. That was over a year. The woman has done mourning for over a year. She's picked up the management of Daystar for over a year. She's kept everything in place for over a year. She has shown up and taught and done everything she's supposed to do for over a year. And they did have a conversation before Marcus passed on. And his statement to her was, you're a young woman. Don't stay single. Now, for those who have a wound from a husband or a wife, they're going to look at that marriage with Joni and Doug and go, yeah, I knew it, yeah. She wasn't happy with Marcus, yeah, you know. Yeah, I heard stories. You heard stories? Yeah. Okay, so all of a sudden the woman lost weight. Have you seen how happy she is now? She's glad to be gone with that guy. I mean, they start projecting because it's a wound that they carry themselves. None of us, unfortunately, arrive to adulthood without Satan having to zap us at some area. And it's usually not an area that's obvious. It's an area that no one else would pick up on. I was a daddy's girl. My mom always said that, and I'm in the background going, yep. I love my daddy because he was really fun for me. He talked to me all the time like I was an adult. He showed me things. If he was outside watering the lawn, I could go join him, and he'd be happy to have me around. My mom loved her, but she was more of a, okay, stand up straight, now button that up. She was more of the, we're going to get you ready to be presented to the world. And I kind of got the idea, you know, I'm just never going to get it right. Because as a 3- and 4-year-old, We don't know that she's fixing a hair bow from hanging in our eyes to looking presentable when we walk out the door. All we know is that I just never seem to get it right. So I gravitated to my dad. Now, there was no wound from Daddy. And as I grew up, I look back and I see seasons when he really wasn't Daddy. He was kind of like, what the heck? But because I had a relationship with him, it just rolled right off. He did not like my hairstyle when I was in the sixth grade. I don't know where his hairstyle, came from, you know, from judging me, but he did not like that hairstyle at all. And he said some horrible things about my hair, horrible, that I'm sure if I were someone else, that I would be thinking, my daddy just really abused me because he said horrible things to me when I was at a very impressionable age. I just carry it around because I know every man that looks at me and says something, they're really thinking that I'm not right. But I don't have a wound for that, so it just rolls right off. And when God reminded me of that, it's like, Nancy, you don't have a wound because you didn't have an opening. You didn't have anything going on in your life that you were going to open a book and keep a file on. Now, let me explain how this works. Let's say, this is totally not true, let's say that Deb and I have a disagreement, and suddenly she opens a book that says, I have to judge everything that Nancy says to me because that just wasn't right. That was not right at all. So the next time I see Deb, I've forgotten about our conversation. And so I go, hi, Deb. And she still has that file open. And instead of putting it in the good Nancy file, she puts it in the... She walked pretty fast past me this morning. Now, she said hello, but she walked fast. It goes in the negative file. And then going out, because I think Deb and I are just fine, I rush past her to go talk to somebody else that's brand new to the church. She goes, see, yeah, I knew it. Another thing goes in the negative file. And pretty soon, Deb is unable to have any kind of a good relationship with me because she opened that negative file, and everything that happens goes into that file. Now you say, well, how did you figure that out? Where's the scripture for that? Well, you know, sometimes God doesn't give us a Bible verse. He gives us an example. And if you've heard this story before, listen carefully again because it's a good one. When I worked in corporate, there was a paper mill in a town called Albany. And I don't know if you've ever been around a paper mill, but they stink. They don't smell like burnt or paper or anything. They have a chemical smell to them. And so every time anybody that was raised, born and raised in Oregon, when you're driving past Albany because it's close to the freeway, you put something over your mouth as you drive through that stretch of road because it stinks. Well, there was a new company that moved into the area, Teledye Wachang, and maybe you can tell from the name that it was a company that did something other than pulp, wood, and paper. And Teledye Wachang had an operation there in the Albany area, and they hired a new clerk in the city council area. And so this new clerk came into city council, and she's a young woman and excited, and she's going to work in government and work her way up. And she gets a phone call, and they're complaining about this fragrance that's on the freeway from Portland to Salem, which is by Albany, and it smells, and she's eager to have her job right now. What does it smell like? It smells almost chemical. Must be Teledye Wachang. And so she puts it in the file. She has a file there for Teledye. She sets it up. She puts it in the file. Every complaint that came in about the smell on the freeway going from Portland to Salem, going through Albany, where the paper mill was, she filed in the Teledye Wachang file. You say, now how do you know all these things? Well, we banked Teledye Wachang. And all of a sudden, the local government is having a showdown because they've got this huge file of negative complaints about the emissions that are going in the air. And I don't know how much you know about Oregon, but you know, we shut down a whole industry because they found some spotted owls in a tree. So you have a lot of activists that want us to keep everything happy. So these activists were marching along about, we got to get rid of Teledye Wachang, this horrible stench. And of course, you know, the locals that have been there forever are going, what the heck's going on? I don't smell anything. That's a paper mill. So the company's leadership was very concerned. I mean, this could shut down the plant. So we're watching closely as the hearings take place and all of the people come in to talk about this horrible stench in Albany. And someone finally goes, excuse me, That's not Teledi Huachang. They don't have any air admissions. Have you been to the plant? Have you tested anything around them? All that belongs to the paper mill. And the poor little clerk is going, oh, no. I took the phone calls. I have the file. I have this room full of complaints. Not realizing that when she opened that file for Teledi Huachang, everything that came in went into the file rather than really figuring out what was going on. Now, I have, since probably grade school, God has given me life examples that I go, ooh, that'll preach. Even as a little kid, it's like, that's a lesson. So I have held that, knowing that that's how we operate in life. We get a kitchen or get along or whatever, and suddenly everything that they do just aggravates us. Now, for those of you that walked in a little bit late, God gives us three seasons in life to help shape our attitudes, because I'm talking about the spiritual things here, about it's all in our mind. Number one is marriage. When you get married, there's certainly a good opportunity to kind of rub each other the wrong way so that you kind of get bumped enough to be the person that God designed you to be. Second one is parenting. You have those kids and you have plans and you just know how they're going to be. They don't ever turn out that way. So that's another chance for us to step back and say, okay, Lord, I don't understand this child that you've given me. I love them. I want to raise them right. So show me how do I communicate with them? And in our Western society, we've done a really horrible thing on parenting about everything needs to be fair. That's not true. Each one of your kids needs something different. So at one season in my life, I was raising two children that I had not birthed. Now, my daughter is a strong gal. Don't know where she got that. Can you imagine? So she's really strong. And so when you deal with Kristen, you have to go, Kristen, no, which goes right over her head. And then she moves on to the next thing. But I had the privilege of having a little gal by the name of Annette in my home that I was raising. And Annette was very tender-hearted. Now, Kristen was tender, but she had a hard shell around it. It was kind of like Duke's Up. And so for Annette, all I had to do to correct her was go, honey. And she was, I'm sorry. It's like, wow. Now, for a long time, I thought it was my superior parenting skills. And then I realized it had nothing to do with me whatsoever. My job was to pull back and never damage Annette by treating her fairly the way that I treated my daughter. Because after all, I hadn't birthed her, so I didn't want to be a stepmom. I wanted to treat her right. But my job was to figure out, what does that kid need? Now, the one I missed on was her brother. I didn't know anything about boys, hadn't birthed a boy, hadn't raised a boy, didn't have brothers, didn't have uncles and uncles around. So I kind of messed up on that one. I didn't understand. But Annette, I got. And so it was really a good time for me to realize, fair does not mean across the board. Fair means, what does this child need? What does that child need? Annette always had a clean closet. I just have to camp on her for a while. She always cleaned her room. She always made her bed. She always hung up her clothes. She was one of those kids. Had nothing to do with me. She came out of the womb that way. She was just a good kid. So if you're raising one that goes, you and the horse you rode in on, just know that God has given that child a strength and a knowing in their knower that they have something that's unique and special. And so you guide them differently. And if God has blessed you with a child that all you have to do is go, honey, then be very gentle with them and help them learn that they have rights, that they have dignity because they're a daughter of God. Okay, the next one, the third season in life, is aging parents and how we adjust to those people who have always protected us, taken care of us, when suddenly they don't even know our name. And so for that, we have to grow up. I think the time for us, Don and I, when we grew up is when our parents passed. It was like, wow. They're gone. It's just us. And so we kind of, turned around and looked at the lineage we were leaving. It's like, okay, what did we learn? What was good? What do we want to do? What did we learn that didn't work so well? What do we want to do? And so there's a season where you take care of your aging parents until they pass, and then the season where you turn around and take care of your future. So you've got the marriage, the children, the parenting. First one we talked about was mind reading, that's the and then projecting the file. Oh, and then connecting dots, that's point number three. Connecting dots mean that we create fantasies in our mind, and we connect dots for people's behavior and reasons for why they behave that way. It's very similar to the opening that file and keeping track of things that we really shouldn't be keeping track of. But we connect dots that aren't there. We superimpose our life lessons and our wounds or our successes on someone else. And the problem with connecting dots is that once we've started the trail, we either relegate them to the outer circle, or if they don't get the next dot right that we assume they should, then we're mad. And then we start attacking, trying to coach them, of course, spiritually hoping to help them, but we start attacking because we have connected a dot for their life that has nothing to do with us. Again, the Jewish concept is God will bring them a certain way, and then he might turn that direction and take them another way for his purpose. When I look at the children of Israel when they were wandering around in the desert, and when I was little, you know, it all made sense, and I thought it was kind of fun. They were camping, and they had fire in the night, and they had a cloud in the day, and whoopee. But think about it. For some seasons, they camped for a while. So they were there for a time. And I'm sure somebody planted the seed to have a flower because she was really tired of all that sand around there. And so she started cultivating her area. Maybe it was a guy that was going to get a team together and have a sport, something fun. But then all of a sudden the cloud moved if it was daytime, or the fire moved if it was nighttime, and they had to let everything go. Sometimes God moves us. And sometimes it's not comfortable. So don't be that person that is nagging on you because you have done what God asked you to do by turning a different direction. Now, I saw this amplified in the church when Don and I came to New Beginnings, because we were in a church where Lake Baptist, I mean, if you joined Lake Baptist, you were there until you died. And you had new people that came in, but nobody left. So all of a sudden, when circumstances called us out of that church, it was kind of like, where are you guys going? What the heck are you doing? You backslid? What's happening here? And we came to New Beginnings because I spoke for a women's conference, and it's like, I don't know who these people are, but we got to get here. So we followed Pastor and Tiz, and we followed him here. But I saw people come and go. And so I pull back because I try really hard. I can't say it's 100%, but I try not to react immediately. I try to pull back and go, what's going on? So I pull back. It's like, Lord, what's going on? I mean, this church is amazing. These pastors are incredible. This message that he speaks, what the heck's going on? He said they came in, they got what they needed, and now they've gone out. Like, what do you mean they've gone out? He said, well, you have children, and then they go away to college, or they get married, they move out, you've done your job. No. They should have stayed here. That wasn't my will. They came in, they learned something, they went out. So I pondered on that for a while because it's like, that just doesn't make sense to me. My little Baptist mind doesn't accept that. They ought to be back in this church. And then I started running into people that had joined other churches, other ministries, even other states, and realized that the message that Pastor Larry teaches here had gone over there. They had taken their Jewish root, biblical root, over there, and churches were changing. It's like, I'll be darned, God was right once again. Who knew? So I accepted the fact that people will come in, they'll get fed, they will grow, and they may go out. But God said, the ones that are here, that I want to be here, will stay here. Because we have a phrase here. If you haven't been called to New Beginnings, you can't stay. And if you have been called to New Beginnings, you can't leave. So you may cul-de-sac for a while, but you'll be back because this is the house that God wants you to stay in and serve in. But if you haven't been called here to plant and to stay, then you'll come for the season to get what you need, and then you'll take that to someplace else. Okay, the next one, oh my gosh, this, yeah, Joni, holy cow. Number four, picking up offenses for others. My good friend Joan Potter, some of you, you've met her when she came here to conferences, yeah. Oh yeah, you went to Portland, have a picture with her. So you know how, I mean, she just oozes love, just excitement, enthusiasm, and oozes love. And sometimes, you know, someone will say something to me or something will happen, and Joni's like, you know, a pit bull. It's like, what'd you say? I mean, she'll come out even going, Joni, it's okay. It's okay. No, that's not okay. They shouldn't have said that to you. It's like, I have not picked up offense. I didn't do that because I'm practicing that thing that was, they must have had a bad day coming into the church because obviously that's not who they normally are. So I'm going to bless them, pray for them, let them go on their way. I've not taken offense. But Joni considers it her birth responsibility to stand in front of me and make sure nobody does anything to me. So I had to retrain her. It's like, it's okay, Joan. It's like, where did that come from? I've shared with you before, Joan's background. Her home was not sweet. Her daddy was not a nice man. And so there were just wound after wound after wound after wound in her life that she was trying to let go of and get healed, and the Holy Spirit was helping her. But still, if someone had said that to her, it would have hurt her feelings. And so her automatic assumption was that it hurt my feelings. It's like, no, it doesn't. So don't pick up offenses that somebody else didn't pick up. Because we've been taught and we know that when you pick up an offense, you're carrying baggage that's going to hurt you. You're carrying something that's going to poison you rather than somebody else. You're carrying something that's going to taint all of your relationships. So don't pick up offenses. Which leads us to the very last point. Don't take offense. I have been quoting this one forever. Good morning. They're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. They're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. Not everybody's put together. We're all in various times and seasons of our life that are learning new things. And some of us learn a lot of really good stuff when we're young, and others of us don't learn it until high school, or maybe college, or maybe first marriage, or second marriage, or first job, or second job that we got fired from the first job with. We don't pick it up until we've had enough life circumstances to get that stuff broken off of us and be okay. So we may run into them at some point in our life when they're not behaving exactly right, the way that they should, for the office that they have, for the title that they hold. Just don't take offense. Just realize that the Holy Spirit is covering you. Everything that comes to you goes through the blood of Jesus, and it wounds them as well in heaven. He sees all those things that happened that should have never happened to a little boy or a little girl, and it grieves him as well. So we have got that buffer. Jesus paid the price for us to not take offense. I don't think it meant as much to me earlier in my life as what it does now, when I realized that some of the cul-de-sacs, that's a terminology I use for when I go out and do weird things, some of the cul-de-sacs that I made choices for in my life and was carrying a little bit of guilt and some hiding things so that no one would know, God let me know that Jesus had paid a pretty heavy price for me to let go of those things. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I don't like, nah. And he's like, well, when you hold on to them, you're letting Jesus know that he went through all that pain for no reason. And then I let go of it real quick. Because it's like, if my Savior paid that price with his body and his blood and his attitude, being willing to go through all of that for me, why would I hang on to anything? I would hand it to him as quickly as I could. I would confess whatever I needed to confess and get rid of it as soon as I could, because I would not want to think of him suffering and then me not caring enough to accept it. It really helped me forgive myself for a lot of things, because it's like, huh, that's covered. And then I read a story about Catherine Kuhlman. I don't know how many of you have read her life story, but at one point she got married to some guy. I'm sure, you know, she was pretty bored with just praying for people. And so she got married to some guy that her board had said, don't marry this guy. And I don't know how long they were married, because I was kind of just skimming over the story, but it was not a good marriage. It was not a good deal. And so she left that marriage and then went, you know, back into full force into her amazing miracle service that God gave her that calling for. And somebody talked about, but sister, you've been divorced. She goes, not me. And it was kind of like the New Testament story. I'm not that woman anymore, not me. So I'm reading that, it's like, dang, I can say that too. I can say that's not me anymore, because it's not me anymore. I don't think that way. I don't speak that way. I don't do that way anymore. I'm a different woman. So it helped me let go. Now, all of you that have ever been in any of my classes, you know that I use my life as an example because it's the only one I have besides reading about Jesus and God. But I figure if I've gone through it, probably somebody in here has gone through one or two of them themselves. So I share all that to say, whatever you're carrying, let go. Whatever offense, and God's word says offenses will come, don't pick them up. Just realize, bless their hearts. They're doing the best with what they've got. Help them, Lord. Don't mind read. Don't assume that you know the reason somebody is doing something to you. It's probably not them at all. I'll tell it. Okay. There was an usher in the church that I grew up with. And bless his heart, I don't know what his wife fed him for breakfast. But he would be standing it up either on the side or in the back or whatever. You know, as a little kid, you're always looking around. You're not paying much attention. And he every once in a while, you know, he'd make one of those faces. Now, for those of you that are listening to this afterwards, it's one of those squishy faces that you make when you're in pain. And I always assumed that he was responding to something the pastor was saying. I'm mind reading, right? So I'm watching that face. Okay, what'd pastor say? Because, I mean, he's a leader in the church, right? Obviously. And then I don't even remember how it happened, but my mom was talking about this gal's cooking. And she always was making pies and bringing to the church, but she always made her pies, and I don't bake, so help me out here. The pies that she made, I guess you have to use some oil or whatever. Well, she used the grease that she saved from her bacon cooking. We weren't kosher. And it really affected the pies, their flavor, but there were a number of other things that it affected as well. And Daddy says, yeah, I didn't mean to say the name, always burps. I'm thinking, so he was not responding to the pastor's sermon. He was not questioning what the pastor was saying. He was burping from his breakfast. So those are kind of mind-reading things. You know, so don't camp there. Don't read. Don't try to figure out what's going on. I mean, I had built an entire theology around when the pastor was saying wrong because of what Herb was burping from his breakfast. So just understand that God will give you guys those examples too. You'll see something and go, huh, thank you, Lord. Because God will put in our life everything that we need to have broken off of us so that we can step into who he created us to be. Life is sweet, and you can have an expectation of what's going to happen. That's my message today. Get rid of the weeds in your life. Pull them out of your brain. Give them DDT, spiritual Holy Spirit DDT, and know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. He loves you. He's already hand-packed you for your assignment, so don't worry about anything. You're not overdue. You're not too late. You're right on time, and he's going to make it worth your while. Let's pray. Father, we come into your throne room today, and Lord, we are so, so thankful that you forgive us, that you give us grace. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm alive at this time in history with the Holy Spirit and not in the biblical times that I read about, because I think I would have been stoned to death as a teenager. But Father, I thank you that you have given me a pathway where I have seen your hand at work. I've seen your miracles. I have felt your grace and forgiveness. I experience the feeling of love and joy and excitement in the world that you put me in. Doesn't mean that it's easy, Lord. Doesn't mean that there aren't things that come up, but it means that you're here. And Father, I want everyone that's here this morning to have that same sense. Smother them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are bringing to their memory the things that they need to forget. Let their phrase be, I distinctively remember forgetting that. Let them have no response that's not in line with your word. Let them pick up no offense. Let them be like Teflon. Let them have the wisdom that comes only from you, Heavenly Father. Let them have the forgiveness that comes from you, Jesus. And let them have the direction and the covering that comes from your Holy Spirit. And all God's children said, amen. God bless you.